Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Amy here. I just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee, you ask? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, or at our blog, which is www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Bianca. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we're all living la vida locked down. And we've been shitting on everything Amy has written in this space, so you can make it up yourselves.
Damn right we have.
Oh God, I didn't read it. I just read it out loud instead.
That's what I was hoping for. That's really what I was hoping for. So, thank you.
Yeah. If anybody was going to do that tonight, it was me. So, yeah, anyway, moving on. We take aim at one topic each week, along with a bottle or three of wine or anything else we have in our house, and we try to make some sense of it. So, ladies, what are we all drinking tonight?
Well, tonight I've gone for very low alcohol and a very refreshing drink, actually. West Coast Coolers, which brings me back to the days of my underage drinking.
It's very Ned Flanders of you.
Oh, it is. But again, they're really nice. Get how nice they are.
Well, I'm drinking a new bottle tonight. I am drinking Lazy Sunday Pinot Gris, and I haven't had this one before. It's interesting. It's got a big sweet note at the start, which is interesting for a Pinot Gris. So I'll let you know how I go later on in the segment. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm drinking the last of my Baileys because the wine pyramid scheme I joined up to, thank you, Amy, said it might arrive, and it didn't.
Hey.
Because Ozpost is like backed up to the shit at the moment. Yeah. So yes, it's at a depot. It just hasn't made it to me yet. So yeah. Yep. Hopefully next week I'll have some pyramid scheme wine.
Yeah. Well, it's outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is gonna be my life now. It's just gonna make things so much easier. All right. So Sarah, what is our topic for tonight?
So this week's topic is roadside attractions. So we all know what a roadside attraction is. We're all adults. We're not that dumb.
Really? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, for those who are kind of special like Bianca, roadside attractions are big things or interesting things that you find at the side of the road.
Wait,
that you
I'm
can
confused.
Stop
Explain
off.
Explain it to
and
me like I'm five.
What? Explain it to you like you're five.
You
well, Bianca, if you have noticed on your way to the city, if you jump on, what is it, East Link, you'll notice that giant hotel, which is not really a hotel. But it's like
not really a roadside attraction either, because there's nowhere for you to stop and look at it. They close that off.
Who cares? Just stop at the side of the road.
Yeah,
service
you're not
lane.
Supposed to. Yeah, you're not supposed to. That's a bit illegal, mate. But anyway.
Pretend you're having a breakdown.
When has legality stopped us?
Yes. What are those? Look, I don't know what everyone else has done, so I'm not going to give full examples of.
Yeah.
I
get it.
Yeah, you get it. So roadside attractions have been popular since the 1930s.
Oh.
And according to legend, there's a legend. In 1939, a handyman named George Prather went out for a walk in some woods near Highway 17 one afternoon when he began to feel slightly dizzy. Checking his compass, Prather watched dumbfounded as the arrow... No,
Inexplicably.
See, even you guys sounded weird saying it.
That's because that's how it sounds.
That's how it sounds.
Such a stupid word. As his arrow, quite crazily, spun around. He kept on spinning.
Yeah.
So he soon discovered other anomalies in the area.
Yeah.
Surprised that word came out, actually. Prather was fascinated and thought others would be as well. So he purchased 3 acres of land there and built this little shack side of the road. So it actually became known as Gravity Hill. And for a small fee, he would take visitors and lead them out to the shack
where
balls,
yeah.
Yeah, I know, where balls would appear to roll uphill and guests could lean forward as far with their feet flat, lean far forward without falling over, seeming to defy the laws of physics. After being featured in 1948 issue of Life magazine and later on a TV show, You Asked For It, the mystery spot began to draw hordes of fascinated tourists from around the world.
So is that the original mystery spot? That's awesome.
Yeah, and also one of the first roadside attractions.
I love that it was just a shack. Like, here, give me some money. Come to my murder shack.
Like, I'm in my shack.
Welcome to the slanty shanty.
Roll the ball. See where it goes. But years later, the phenomenon was attributed to Prather's own cockeyed perspective. He had simply built a tilted house.
Slanty shanty.
It was a slanty shanty. But the way he had built it, you couldn't tell just by looking at it. So, yeah. Yep.
Oh, so it's like Amy Shelves. Yeah.
Just like Amy Shelves. Or I was thinking more like, you know, amazing things that we've got on Phillip Island.
Yep.
It's a trick of the eye. It's not really happening.
Full-blown trick of the eye. But, yeah, as I was doing it, I'm like, I'm not going full history here. And why we love big things on the side of the road is because, well, long trips require pit stops. And
we're bored.
We're bored. Oh, yeah. So seeing a big-ass dinosaur at the side of the road, and it's even better if you can climb up into his mouth and get a view.
Yeah.
You can pretend you're a freaking T-Rex.
I made Mum stop at the big banana. I'm like, the big banana's coming up. She's like, but we're getting, you know, so close to Queensland. And I was like, we're stopping at the big banana. Like, we are,
Happening. Don't fight me. It's happening.
Yeah. I'll jump out of the car. Well, tuck and roll.
So, and if you've got kids, you're going to want to stop. You're going to want to let them.
If they've got snacks and a toilet and something to get the kids to run around it like 40 million times to work off their crazy, winner.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely up for that. That's our topic, and this week I've chosen 2 attractions. So the first attraction is actually the Angel of the North. So the Angel of North is a contemporary sculpture by Anthony Gourmel, Gormley? I don't know. I think I need to clear my glasses. That guy. I'm going to bring my computer closer to me.
Oh, this explains so much of your segments. Yep.
Located beside the A1 road in Gated Tyne, and we're in England. Completed in 1998. So it is the largest sculpture in Britain.
Mm.
The steel sculpture is 20 metres tall or 66 feet with wings measuring 54 metres or 177 feet across.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking massive. That's a big ass angel.
Yeah, it is. It's fucking huge. So the wings are tilted forward, and according to the guy that created it, it gives a sense of embrace.
Oh, like the Jesus statue. Yeah, it's all embrace.
It looks very much like the Jesus statue if he also looked like a big ass plane standing upright.
Like Christ the Redeemer in Brazil, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The Jesus statue.
Christ the Redeemer.
I told you that in the episode. Which episode was it? Oh, was it Travel Roulette? Go back and listen to it if you haven't already.
So due to its exposure, the sculpture was built to withstand wind of 100 kilometres an hour or 100 miles per hour. The foundations contain 600 tonne of concrete to form the base. The sculpture was not actually built at its location.
Yeah.
It was, in fact, built further away, and it was constructed in three parts, and it was moved then to its location. So the body weighs 100 ton, which is a shit ton in my book.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And the two wings weigh 50 tons. Yeah. So the components were transported in convoy. The body on... that was a terrible movie that my partner made me watch. But now now I sit there, I go, yep, 10-4, rubber ducky. All my truck drivers. yeah, so the body was transported on a 48-wheeled trailer. Huge. Like, mammoth. And then
a big trailer.
Trailer. And then, yeah, and 45K, I believe it was, away. And, yeah, so it took its journey. It took 5 hours to construct, like, pieced all together, and it did, in fact, attract a large crowd.
I'm surprised it only took them 5 hours. How do you attach each of those wings that are that heavy?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Modern engineering. It's incredible.
It was nuts. The plaque beside the angel is a quote, and it says, "The hilltop site."
Bye.
Stop distracting me. It says the hilltop site is important and has the feeling of being, oh, I can't even say this, megalithic mound. Yeah, yep. Very good. My mouth could get around it. When you think of the meaning that was done underneath the site, oh, that doesn't make sense.
No, because it's mining.
It's mining.
Yeah.
It was so mean.
Yeah.
Well, there might have been meaning. I don't know.
Well, if you think of the mining that was done underneath the site, yeah, there's a it's poetic.
Really? You're getting close, mate. You just got to hold on for like 4 more paragraphs. You're good.
I write so much. Okay. So this was my issue.
You should have
But yeah.
Dictated it. It would have made more sense.
I should have dictated it and that would have made complete sense. No. Never does. So that was the first one. So the Angel of the North. I will put pictures of it in the blog.
Nice.
It is massive and it looks, to me, it just, the wings look like a big plane. Just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the second one I'm going to do is the world's largest cuckoo clock. So the cuckoo clock is 4.50 meters tall.
I think that's supposed to be 4.5,
mate.
I think it might be bigger. Anyway, I've done my research well, people. Hey, do I still have
Would
it
that
open?
Be 450 meters tall? I don't know. I'm so confused. How big is this cuckoo clock, Sarah?
It actually says the cuckoo is 4.50 meters tall. Well, according to their homepage, it is.
I think they're cuckoo. Yeah.
Maybe. It's completely made of wood and painted by hand.
God, that's a fucker, I'm telling you.
Yeah. it's basically the size of, well, it looks like there's shops underneath it. So they've made this clock with shops underneath. It's a fucking building. It's a huge-ass building. And it's got a bird that pops out that weighs 150 kilos.
Jesus.
The pendulum is 8 meters long and weighs 100 kilos.
Well, the pendulum's 8 meters long. How is the cuckoo is 4.5. I'm like thinking the clock's fucking 4.5 meters tall. How is the pendulum 8 meters when the clock is double the clock? This clock's getting real weird in my head, mate. I could blame the second jab of the vaccine, but I don't know. I think it's you.
It's not me. It's the way they've written it and the way I've copy and pasted it.
That's okay. The way your brain has interpreted it. It's fantastic. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yep.
Pendulum weighs.
The pendulum weighs 100, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Lad! Miss Lad.
And the best thing about the largest cuckoo clock in the world, it works as a reliable clock. It shows you the time accurately. Yay! Anyone that, you know, is kind of local to the area can set their watches by it. I like that. That's what I do in where I live. We have the alarm that goes off at 12. I set my watch to it. It's 12 o'clock, yes. Been doing it for years.
Probably explains why you're always late. Is it a manual clock or is it a digital clock you set your time to? No,
Lysarts. Once their siren goes off, 12.
Right, okay.
You used to do it too. You can't deny it.
We literally have never done that, ever.
Well, you're not stupid. A thing. Always went off by the siren. Siren, 12 o'clock, lunchtime.
Okay, I never really heard it, to be honest. But yeah.
So it's actually a replica of an original clockwork, but that one was, of course, much smaller scale. So the scale is 60 to 1 between the original little clock and the remake of the biggest clock.
But I don't know how big the little clock was to go 60 to 1 in my brain. It's still
stop doing the math, Bianca. It doesn't work. Don't worry about it.
Little, huge.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay. Stop. Explain it to me like I'm five.
Sorry, I can't explain it to you like you're five. God, hell yeah.
Just come along for the adventure with Sarah. Don't try and make any sense of it. Just don't make any sense of it
because, yeah, you know, it won't work for you. Okay, so the magnificent clockwork, which you can view via a staircase, measures... Nope, you don't want to hear that. 4.5 by 4.5 meters.
Yep.
Yeah, even I'm getting confused now.
Yeah.
Seriously, people. Yep. Maybe that's Germany
a big square. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe Germany just has a weird sense of measurement. I don't know.
They could. They might.
I might have had a lot of beers when they built this because that would make more sense to me.
Oh, our German listeners, please help us out on this. Just hit us up on our socials and be like, Sarah, what's wrong with you? Here's all the information. How'd you get this wrong?
I was going off their website.
Could be lost in translation, but German's pretty close to English, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's just lost in Sarah, to be honest.
It's just lost in Sarah.
Lost in Sarah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost in Sarah-lation.
Oh.
Serenese.
Serenese. Oh, shit, I've got my own language now. Nice. Yeah. So, yeah, despite its size, it is driven purely mechanically according to tradition by two huge fir cone weights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I love that there was a pause. Like, fir, is it fir? No, like a pine cone is called a fir cone. F-I-R. Yeah. Yeah.
But I loved it. Totally. I understood that.
I had no idea what it was. I was just agreeing with it.
I know what a fir cone is because that's a pine cone.
Yeah.
But they call them fir trees. I was like, yeah, it's weird. Black forest. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That forest.
That's where the bitches live. Yeah, Hansel and Gretel.
With their fur cones.
Yeah.
With their fur cones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so two bellows produce the typical cuckoo call. The little bird calls out every half hour and announces the time on the hour. Mm. Yeah, so apparently that you can go up and you can go inside the clock.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
It'd be so annoying to live close, though. Like, just... Every half hour, little bird, and then like every hour, just boom is the time, bitch. Just no.
So yeah, so it took 5 years for them to build this project, and in 1990, the master clockmakers began the building in the Black Forest clock. So that's where it is. It's in the Black Forest. Which takes up an entire house. So it's massive. The clock takes up a house. So they did find a solution for every technical difficulty that arose during this time. And in 1994, the clock was completed. So everything in this clock was made by hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Germans are technologically amazing.
Oh,
like,
they are.
Just the advancements that they've made. Like, it's just, things that are... German made like these sort of cogs and stuff like that, like the intricate mechanical is amazing. Yeah. Just amazing.
So, so just after 3 years of when they made the clock, it was entered into the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest clock in the world.
Amazing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. It's on the list. I mean, the Black Forest was already on the list, but now I have a thing in the Black Forest to put on the list. Heck yeah.
Yeah, now we
thank
won't
you.
Be shocked when we stumble across this house with a giant cuckoo clock in it. So, yeah.
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 So if you look in our Skype chat, I've just put in a picture of what the clock actually looks like.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is so freaking cute.
It is so cute and huge.
Oh, my God.
I'm stealing that bird.
Looks like it's made out of gingerbread.
Yeah, okay. Amy, did you hear what I said about the bird?
Yeah, but that's only made me want to steal it more. So.
Yeah, okay. You carry that 150-kilo bird.
I'll drag him. It'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. So that's me done. Amy, what do you got?
I love it.
Well, I've decided to take aim at giant things, specifically giant things found in Australia. When we first decided to take aim at this topic, my brain ran off a million miles an hour. I reined it in and decided to focus my energy on giant things from Australia specifically because it actually sounds like it would only be a small number of things, so it would make my research easy. No, I was bloody wrong. Yeah.
You've got too many big things.
So many. Wikipedia has a whole page dedicated to Australia's big things, which fall into the category of roadside attractions because people pull over and they have a look. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is estimated that there are over 150 big/giant things in Australia. Like what? I could name maybe 10. Like maybe if I stretched it, maybe 10. Before Maybe five, maybe 10. Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out people love a roadside attraction. And if you got a shop out in the middle of nowhere and you want people to visit, just put something big out the front and people come. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, so since there are over 150 estimated giant or big things in Australia, I thought I would tell you about some of the ones that I thought were notable from each state and territory in our homeland. So starting with the ACT. Okay.
The giant dipshit.
Quote.
The giant mushroom. So.
The giant mushroom. Yeah.
Giant shrooms.
I think it's a testament to the fact that you have to be on shrooms to live there. But anyway, yeah. There's also like a giant pear and a handful of other things, but they're not really noteworthy. ACT is boring. This is why.
Yeah.
It's a giant roundabout, people. If you've never been, it's a giant
fireworks.
Like, yeah.
That's the only reason to go there. And, like, you can only buy fireworks if you don't live in the state. But that's the only place you can buy them is in ACT.
Did they do that? I thought they fixed that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, did they fix it? Because that just always boggled my mind. Like, you can't buy fireworks in Victoria, but you can buy fireworks in the ACT if you live in Victoria and not going to use them in the ACT. But if you live in the ACT, you can't buy fireworks in the ACT. What the fuck?
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
I know.
Oh. Anyway, so moving on into New South Wales, they have the Big Banana, which is actually a theme park. And another that I recently learned of called the Big Bogan. I had a picture in there in our forest sheet so the girls can see it as I'm chatting about it, and I'll put it in the blog.
Sad I didn't see the Big Bogan now. Like, I stopped for the Big Banana, but the Big Bogan would have been great.
Actually, it looks a little like Nev.
Yeah. It does look like
my dad at the moment with his silver mullet.
A local church minister actually came up with this one. They also have the Big Merino, the Big Avocado, the Big Axe, a few Big Chickens, or Chooks as we say in Australia, the Big Dog, and the Big Gold Panner. Yeah.
Do you want a mullet update?
Maybe.
It's down past the shoulders. It's just past the shoulders now. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, God.
Anyway, I'm going to crack through. So
yeah, because I have to edit that out.
In the Northern Territory, they have many big artworks that pay homage to Aboriginals who were Australia's first peoples. However, in classic NT style, there's also a big dinosaur outside of Bunnings, strangely enough, which is like a big homeware/hardware store for those who don't know what a Bunnings is. And also they have a giant jumping croc, which I've seen, which is near the river where you see the jumping crocs. Yeah.
Oh.
P.S. Spoiler alert. For people who think that they just jump out of the water like some sort of fucking majestic dolphin or something, they don't. There's a big bit of meat on the end of a hook and they make them jump out of the water. I was very disappointed. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Okay, so in Queensland, they have the Big Barrel, which actually houses the Bundaberg Rum gift shop. They have the Big Cassowary, or as we like to say, the Big Dinosaur Turkey Bin Chicken. Yep. Yeah. They also have the Golden Gumboot, the Big Pineapple, Matilda the Giant Kangaroo, which has a fun backstory. Matilda was actually the retired mascot from the 1982 Commonwealth Games. Yeah. She got life as a roadside attraction out front of a shop of some description. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was cute. She got a new dress. All right, so moving on to South Australia, we have Bianca's Nightmare, which is the big ant. It is a big ant. Yep.
Yep.
They have Big Cherries, the Big Galah, the Big Rocking Horse, which is a part of a complex which includes a wooden toy factory and a wildlife park. And then finally, one for Sarah, the Giant Santa, who weighs about 3 tons.
Oh.
Yes,
that is giant.
I think that is giant. More chance of dragging that bird home from the cuckoo clock than you have stealing that Santa. So
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's to stop Sarah's mum?
Oh yeah, yeah. I said Sarah. Sarah's mum. Oh yeah, I have no hesitation whatsoever that she's stealing that. That's happening. Yeah. All right, so not to be outdone, Tasmania has a few. They have the Big Coffee Pot, the Big Penguin, the Big Platypus, and the Big Spud, which it looks exactly like it sounds. Spud is Australian for potato, by the way, if you don't know what a spud is. It looks like a big turd. It's often called the big turd. But it has to be distinguished from the roadside attraction in Australia, which I haven't covered, which is called the big turd. Yeah, so there's a lot of big turds around.
Yeah, like the one on East Link, which is supposed to be an asteroid, and I just call it...
Oh, Peninsula Link, yeah.
Yeah, Peninsula Link, sorry, yeah. That's the big turd.
Big turd that got stuck in metal.
Yeah.
It's the big turd that the satellite caught.
And it's not an asteroid, it's a big turd.
Yeah, they do partake in the silliness down in Tasmania, but they weren't as good.
Oh, do they?
I think it's too cold to partake in too much silliness down there. Yeah. And they probably don't need so many big things because they've got wineries, so they probably don't care. Anyway, crossing over to Western Australia, they have the big periodic table because they're nerds. Nerds. Yeah. This is classic Western Australia. I think they got wind of the fact that everybody else was doing it, so they thought they would get involved, but they got it wrong. Here's why. So, yeah, the big periodic table, the world's tallest bin. Why? How? You can't.
What use is this?
Correct. This doesn't make any sense.
This man may just don't have to clean it out as often.
I don't know. You missed the brief, Western Australia. You got it wrong. They've got Lewin the giant whale, which is like a big grey turd. And they have the big cricket bat, which no one fucking cares about because you can't use it. So it's dumb. Yeah.
No one likes
it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think they got the brief wrong. Anyway, finally, in our home state of Victoria, we have the big abalone, which is probably where Sarah goes to make her sandwiches. Yeah.
Yeah.
The big seat, which is down at Arthur's Seat on the Mornington Peninsula. The big cow. The big gold ball. Two separate big koalas. They're in separate places. Yeah. A few big Ned Kelly. Yeah, we have two. Who knew?
I know the one in Horsham.
Yeah, no. I'll send you the Wikipedia page. And you can go through and have a look.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We also have a big Sphinx, which is located in North Geelong. I vaguely remember this, but I don't think I've been there.
Yeah, Dara and I went to dinner there. Yeah, we went to dinner there.
Yeah.
I'll put in the pictures. I'll put the pictures in the blog.
That sounds so familiar. Did I go to dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, let's not forget the big sheep.
There's quite a few big sheep around. There's the big merino in New South Wales, which I think I touched on. Yeah, the big merino. There's a lot of those sorts of things. Lots of dinosaurs, lots of sheep, which is bizarre. And another fun tidbit is that most states and territories tend to have a giant beer and or a giant bottle of wine. Yeah. In fact, I think I don't want to be left out, guys, and I think I want to put a giant wine bottle on my front lawn. I think my neighbours will be fine with that, right?
I think they'll be fine with that.
Yeah.
I think
they'll be fine with that. Yeah. Yeah. So I actually think that this would be an awesome side adventure to anyone who is travelling around Australia. How many giant things can you get to? post us your pictures. Send your pictures. If you are traveling around Australia at the moment trying to escape lockdown every time it just gets dropped on a state, yeah, send us your pictures of you next to some giant things. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our answer to how many could you get to would probably be one after Bianca fell in a giant can of beer and was trapped in there. Yeah. So then we vowed no more giant things. I don't know why I'm saying Bianca. It would probably be me because I just want to know if there's beer in there. So,
and
yeah.
I would have pushed her.
And the and only reason Sarah. You would have failed because I would have dropped you.
Yes. Yeah. Either Sarah pushed me or Bianca dropped me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also could have just wandered in there by myself. Like, I'm pretty clumsy. So you never know. Anyway, I'm fully up for giant thing hunting now. I feel like everywhere we go, we just have to find a giant thing now. And that's going to be a thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Jacob, what have you got for us?
Well, I dug up a few whimsical attractions for y'all. So the first one is Gnomesville. So lawn gnomes are classic. Yeah, they're just classic, a symbol of kitschy yard decorations. But most people are content to have like just one or two little creatures, you know, in the yard.
Mate. You got to have
two. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Australia's Gnomesville, a collection of thousands of weird little statues are set up on a roundabout. It's a whole different beast entirely. So the community of silent dwarves actually began as a whimsical protest some 20 years ago. As the Gnomesville website explains, a small bit of land in Ferguson Valley was annexed by the local government to create a roundabout. Despite an outcry from the nearby residents, the roundabout was installed and tensions simmered. Ooh. So then at some point, a gnome appeared, just one, and he was just there in a tree hollow. But after a few months, there are around 20. The collection has continued to grow as visitors and locals alike come and dropped off their own little statues. In the decades since their first appearance, the army of gnomes had exploded into thousands. For a time, theft and vandalism stunted the growth of the gnome population.
Oh, shit. Why?
Why?
This is fun. Come on.
Yeah. 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 So, yes. But today, like, the site is fairly well respected nowadays and continues to grow as people bring their gnomes and add to the community. There are now so many gnomes at this roundabout and the area surrounding. It's now called Gnomesville. And that in some spots, they're grouped up into little neighborhoods. So similar colors and attitudes. And So if you're going to visit.
So you're telling me that the ones that wear the red hats don't live with the ones that wear the yellow hats because they're different?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going there to fuck shit up. I am messing with them. Oh my god, you're gonna have gay gnomes, you're gonna have mixed race gnomes, you're gonna have blended families. Oh, wait until I get there.
There's a whole gay pride area.
Oh well, that's good.
Yeah, but why can't they be everywhere? Why can't it just be assimilated into society? This is me and my soapbox again. I'm gonna get down and shut up.
All right. When we get to Wellington Mill, Western Australia, that is what we're doing. So Western Australia may have crap big things, they have awesome little things.
Right. Western Australia, I am coming for you.
And
I'm teaching you how to do big shit, and I am teaching you how to build a utopian gnome society because you clearly got it wrong.
Yes, that's right. My second one that I've got is Tasmasia and the village of Lower Crackpot. I have included pictures in this one. I forgot to put pictures for the last one, which is really sad.
And the Adventures of the Crackpot. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So this is a self-proclaimed largest maze complex in the world.
And if you say you self-proclaimed, that means it's not real.
Yeah, it's a quirky like family attraction in Tasmania's promised land, and it's backdropped by the picturesque Mount Roland. While sometimes classified as a theme park, this description actually doesn't quite fit. There are no rides, and in fact, there really isn't anything mechanical or electrical at all. Tasmasia is essentially a large maze with other mazes nestled inside.
This is not a theme park, guys. You got that wrong.
Yeah. So aside from the Great Maze, one of the world's largest botanical mazes, the mazes include the Hampton Court Maze, the Yellow Brick Road Maze, the Hexagonal Maze, the Cage, the Irish Maze, the Confusion Maze, and the Balance Maze. Yeah, they've got mazes covered. One of the main attractions at the park is the Village of Lower Crackpot. A quaint miniature village built to 1/5 scale. It has an embassy garden and a set of model buildings and icons representing locations around the world, or in some cases representing other worlds in the form of a building dedicated to intergalactic and time travel. Quirky, occasionally subversive sense of humour is present throughout the park. The Village of Lower Crackpot includes the School of Lateral Thinking. Love that.
Oh, my God.
Interplanetary Balloon Aviation.
Interplanetary Balloon Aviation? I dare say that's got nothing to do with the School of Lateral Thinking, but yeah, okay.
This is my favourite. A monument to whistleblowers can be found in the embassy garden.
Why, though? Why?
I'm not asking why. I just want to go and laugh. Oh, boy. Other features include Cubby Town, which is a cluster of mini buildings that kids can enter. Lower Crackpot's Correctional Center, which is probably where we'll end up.
I was going to say, you'll find me there after 15 minutes of being there. Yeah.
It's an assortment of, like, punishments such as stocks and guillotines. Yeah. Faux, obviously. Yeah, not real. But that's definitely, you will just put you in the stocks and wander off, Sarah. And
yeah,
all
exactly where you're flying. Yeah. You fucking bastards. Yep.
Yeah. There's also a Three Bears Cottage. The park also includes a working lavender farm, which is in full bloom in January. Those wondering which months to go. This location is actually off the beaten path, even for Tasmania. So your visit, consider combining a visit with a visit to Cradle Mountain and Mole Creek's Maricopa Cave Glowworm Tour.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Sheffield, Tasmania's Town of Murals is also nearby, and there are several restaurant options. So, yes, there are plenty of other things to do.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're heading to Cradle Mountain, just go to Lower Crackpot.
Where you'll find me.
Yeah.
Stuck in a stock because Sarah put me in there. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. My last one is going to sound a lot more creepy than it is. Okay. Granddad's Magical Wonderland. Yeah. So there once was a patch of public land in Newcastle, which is in New South Wales for those playing at home, that, look, it lay neglected and forgotten, where others saw overgrown grass and untamed brambles. One man named Merv Moyle saw a wild jungle of exotic flowering trees and mythical creatures hiding in the foliage.
Yes, whose grandfather ended up babysitting a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they walked past this probably every day on their walk.
Merv. Oh, yeah.
Grandpa Merv got stuff with babysitting a lot, I imagine. Yeah.
I can imagine so. Yeah. So he's a lifelong gardener. Merv began to transform the neglected patch, planting palms and azaleas and ferns, stringing up garlands of roses and laying winding stone pathways through this little oasis. As the garden grew and, like, all blossomed, and the once dreary space filled with bright colours and extraordinary magic as beautiful fairies and wondrous beasts arrived in droves, making their new homes in the knots of trees and in the shade of the palm fronds and under the caps of giant toadstools. Only a child at heart could summon such fantastical beings, and that is exactly what the late Merv was. So, yes, sorry, spoiler alert, he did pass away. So he actually began this in 19... 70 as a play area for his daughters.
Told you, he got stuck with babysitting or looking after children, and he went, oh, look at the fairies, and they're like, what fairies? So he went, fine, I'll freaking build a fairy park then, stuff you two.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, look, yeah, well, he started making the play area, the garden grew and then became larger. And it became a beloved destination for both the children and adults of Newcastle. Aww. It's a peaceful place, yeah, to escape from city life and discover all manner of creatures, from gorillas to dragons and, of course, fairies. Over the years, the garden grew to include a pet cemetery, a barbecue pit, several seating areas for tea parties, and a special mailbox for the fairy queen herself.
So pet cemeteries are a thing. We talked about this in another episode. Like, I've never heard of one or seen one in actual real life. I don't even think I've seen most of the pet cemetery news.
I almost picked it as my roadside attraction. It was in WA. It was a bunny cemetery.
Oh, okay. So pet cemeteries are a thing. Okay.
I'm like, what the fuck? And it was because, no, it wasn't W. Yeah, it was WA. It was the Northern Territory because it was the rabbit-proof fence.
It could be either, I think. I don't really know that.
I'm trying to remember where the rabbit-proof fence was. But it was right near the rabbit-proof fence, and because so many rabbits died, the community got together and actually made a bunny cemetery. It's specifically dedicated to bunnies. And then I thought I might make Sarah sad.
Sarah's yard is a bunny cemetery. What are you talking about?
He continued maintaining the garden all the way from the 70s up until he passed in 2018 at the age of 94.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Today, Merv's daughters and local volunteers continue his work, ensuring that everyone from the young and older heart can enjoy the garden and its magical inhabitants.
Put it on the list. We're going.
Yeah. For Merv.
For Merv.
He's touched my heart. Yep. So, yes, Brandert's Magical Wonderland is free to visit and open to the public. Within the garden is the Fairy Queen's mailbox where visitors can leave their Fairy Queen letters. If you'd like to receive a response from the Fairy Queen, you please leave a self-addressed envelope in the mailbox.
You can't expect her to go to the post office, guys. So,
No. She's very busy. She's the Fairy Queen.
Busy, okay?
Yeah, although you think she'd have minions, but anyway.
Maybe they're busy too. You never know.
Yeah.
Everyone's busy.
They're entertaining the people, I suppose. Yeah, exactly. So that's it. That's my three little roadside attractions. I had all these other things. Like, originally I had Carhenge, which is an exact replica of Stonehenge made out of cars. And I had a bunch of other things. I was thinking maybe I should talk about, you know, the mailbox at Area 51. That's a roadside attraction. The shoe tree on Route 66. There's this random tree that people stop and throw their shoes up into. I'm like, there's so many things in America, and I just went, I'm into Australia.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I thought that too. I think American roadside attractions need to be its own thing.
I think so, like the biggest ball of yarn and stuff like that. There's several of them. They all keep trying to out-yarn each other. I don't know. It's crazy.
Why? Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I had so much fun researching this topic. I actually did. As I did with the other topics over the last few weeks. However, we would love some topic suggestions from y'all.
Everyone.
Please. Everyone. Bring them in. Because my
there's
brain.
There's no stupid answers. There's just stupid people. Thank you, Mr. Mackey, for teaching us that valuable life lesson. It applies right here.
Yes, exactly. To all of us. Look. Yeah, just hit us up. We run out of ideas and scramble sometimes. So, yes, please give us some topics. So, to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our rubbish. We hope that you found this entertaining as we did. I did. Oh, my gosh. That clock is either massive or tiny. I have no idea, but it weighs a lot.
Yeah, I've got a big bird in there. I'm going to try and take it home. That's what I took away from
that. Massive pendulum, but it's still only 4.50 meters tall. I don't
Stop
know.
Stop thinking about it. Stop it. You cave my face in. I can't.
All right, people. Don't, yeah, please don't use any of the facts discussed in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. Like, okay.
The measurements for your giant cuckoo clock that you're about to build. Yeah, don't.
Actually, I think I've worked out how that works.
Oh, okay. Okay, please.
The pendulum hangs down below the clock.
Yep.
So it doesn't really matter. The pendulum could be taller than the clock.
Space but below because the clock is above a bill is on top of another floor. Right, got you. I'm all over it.
Yeah. So yeah. There's space underneath for it to, you know, be 8 meters. So
yeah. The second floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that's the bit. Yeah. It doesn't explain the stairs or six other things I picked up along the way. Yeah. But anyway, we got that one.
But still, that one's answered. Please read the blog for further answers.
You heard it here. From the mouths of babes or Sarah. All right. Peace out, people.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.